Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Nats Town. Welcome to Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. This is Patrick Reddington from Federal Baseball. I've got Dave Nichols from the District Sports Page, Doghouse, and Federal Baseball on the line, coming to you after a deflating 4-0 loss to the Mets tonight. Pitcher's duel, great action, but rough ending, which we'll get to in a little while, Dave. But we'll start with Max Scherzer, 1-2, 1.26 ERA, 9 FIP, 185, 221, 231 line after four starts this season, four hits, two walks, three earned runs, and 7 2/3 on opening day against the Mets. Three scoreless today, but Michael Kadire hits a 94-mile-an-hour 0-1 fastball out the center for a solo blast, 380 feet, 1-0 New York at that point. Good thing they moved the walls in because they just cleared it. First home run off of Scherzer this year, first hit of the game. That was all the Mets needed tonight, but solid start by Scherzer, 10 Ks on the day. Goes seven innings, five hits, one earned run, one walk, but 10 Ks, one home run allowed was the difference.
Yeah, you look at his stats, and he's turning into the Jordan Zimmermann Memorial No Offense Award because, his record, you know, again, talking about the ridiculousness of the pitcher's win, he's 1-3 this season with a 1.26 ERA. He just could not have done anything more tonight. That ball from Kadire, just it didn't look like a home run off the bat. It just kept carrying and kept carrying, and finally, like you said, went out over that shortened fence out there. But other than that, he was just terrific. 10 strikeouts in 7 innings, his 26th career double-digit strikeout game. Was commanding the fastball in all four quadrants. His slider was biting. Just a really terrific performance, and it's a shame that his offense couldn't scratch anything out for him. To take nothing away from Matt Harvey, he wasn't nearly as dominating against them tonight as he was in his previous start, but still only gave up 5 hits and walked 1. So you say he wasn't particularly dominating with just the 3 strikeouts, but Harvey was just as effective against the Nats as Scherzer was against the Mets, and then you know, we will talk about the clownish defense later on in the game, I suppose.
Yes. So it's hard to call that a mistake pitch, really. A 94-mile-an-hour fastball gets powered out the other way, just to the right of center field by Kadire. Solid start by Scherzer. I really love his competitiveness out there on the mound. He's excited the whole time, pumping his fist when things go right for the Nationals. But that one mistake-ish pitch basically cost him the game.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of a mistake to call that either. Maybe he could have thrown it a little bit harder. We know he can reach back for 96 or 7. Maybe it could have been a little less in the middle, but that was right at the bottom of the zone. I actually don't remember if Kadire is a big low ball hitter. I don't remember him being one. Maybe that was bad, but I mean, that was a pretty good pitch, and Kadire did a good job and got it just over the walls they moved in this season. If there's any mistake I want to put on Scherzer, it's that in the fifth inning, he had a chance to go ahead by hitting a 2-run home run, and he chose to sacrifice instead. So I think that was a big mistake on his part. But other than that, come on. You go 7 innings, you strike out 10, you give up 1 run. It is on the rest of the team to turn that into a win and to keep that game close and to put up 2 or 3 runs of your own. Harvey pitched well. The Nats couldn't push a run across. That's on the rest of the team. Scherzer did everything he could.
No one likes bunting. Maybe with his thumb a little sore still, he was afraid to swing away and put one over the fence there. But we'll try to forgive Max Scherzer for that. Dave, Matt Harvey, you mentioned not necessarily his same stuff he had the first time around against the Nats, but 0.80 ERA, 8 walks, 44 Ks, 178, 230, 271 line against versus the Nats in his career before tonight. 9 Ks and 6 scoreless during the season opening series in D.C., 11 scoreless innings after 5 scoreless tonight, ends up going 7 scoreless tonight, 13 overall scoreless versus the Nats this year, 5 hits, 1 walk, 93 pitches on the night. Not necessarily the dominant outing, like you said, but good enough to shut the Nats down.
Yeah, you know, I think this kid might have something of a future.
He can keep his elbow healthy.
Yeah, you know, he's good. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He's extra good against the Nats right now. For some reason, they don't see him at all. I mean, Bryce Harper finally drew some contact against him, but but struck out twice again tonight. You know, the Mets are slowly building a competitive team, and I say slowly. I still think that their infield defense is horrible, and their bullpen is still pretty shaky. But they're building a pretty decent starting rotation. They've got some good players, and they seem like they have a semblance of a clue on how to manage their prospects. Where the last, you know, 6-8 years or so, they really hadn't been doing that good a job. But yeah, props to Harvey tonight. Just another terrific outing against the Nats, and just hopefully someday the Nats will be able to scratch a run out against him.
Yeah, I definitely said a few years ago I was unhappy with the fact that Sandy Alderson joined that franchise, and I think he's in the process of turning things around, like you mentioned, with Harvey. Unfortunately, Zach Wheeler went down with the elbow injury this year, but when they get him back, bring up Noah Syndergaard on top of it, you got a nice top three in your rotation there going forward, and some really power arms there. So Mets are building up, but they're not supposed to be beating the Nationals now, and they are. Doghouse, Bryce Harper versus Matt Harvey, 0-10, 5 Ks coming into the game after going 0-3 with 3 Ks in the first meeting this season. Kept on chasing those high fastballs. Harvey was throwing them to him again. 0-3, 2 Ks and a walk, a nice walk by Harper. I think that was a really good at-bat there at the end. But Mets announcers were talking about Harper having a little bit of a hole upstairs, not being able to lay off those high fastballs, and Harvey exploited it again.
Yeah, he did for 2 at-bats, and then Harper made an adjustment or calmed down and took a walk there. That gave me a little bit of hope amidst all the rest of the frustration today. And the Nats were not completely hopeless. They had a man on every inning against Harvey. Of course, they only had one man on, frequently with 2 outs, so they weren't able to do anything with him. But they were making contact, and there were a few extra base hits in there. Harper's struggles notwithstanding, he was one of those base runners, getting himself thrown out just barely, but still clearly thrown out. But this is a game that could have gone the other way, pending Blake Treinen and Jason Wirth, which I'm sure we'll get to, because there were a lot of reasonably hard hit ground balls straight at people, and you know, not even Wilmer Flores can drop all of them if they go right at him. So, you know, the Babbitt gods played a little bit of a role here. You know, a lot of that contact was not so solid, I'll give you that. But the Nats only struck out, what, 3 times against Harvey this time out? Yeah, 3 times.
Yeah.
So they could have had a little bit better luck with where the hits fell. And it's possible that Scherzer could have left in a tie game or with a 1-1 lead. So, again, Some of it's ineffectiveness from the Nets. Some of it's a little bit of bad luck, and certainly a big piece of it is Harvey is good at baseball.
Dave Doghouse mentioned the attempted stolen base there. He was 0-12 when he walked in the 6th, appeared to steal 2nd, but the call was challenged, reversed. Looked out to me, looked safe at first, but on the reverse angle they showed from center field, it looked like Harper's hand got in there right after he was tagged there. No real argument there on my part. I think he looked out and was called out. They got the call correct with the replay yet again.
Yeah, I think they got it right. I mean, the argument there is should he have been running ahead of Zimmerman
yeah.
there to begin with, stand with 2 outs. You want to try to get yourself into scoring position, but I prefer letting the batter dictate the situation as opposed to trying to force things on the bases. We all know that you have to steal at a 73, 74, 75% clip to make it worth your while. And I don't like Harper running in that situation. I think it was probably, you know, one of those errors of aggression as opposed to anything else. But yeah, the umpires got the call right. And I am a big proponent of replay and then they're getting these calls right.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like taking the bat out of Zim's hands either. He's been coming through in those quote-unquote clutch situations recently, but Harper did get thrown out there. Doghouse jumped back to the 5th here, though I hate going in non-chronological order, but I skipped over one. Curtis Granderson knocks the ball out of Dan Uggla's glove on a line drive to left. Wirth collects that one, makes a pretty strong one-hop throw into Uggla. Uggla puts the tag down, but right in front of the base and gets the ball knocked out of his glove. 2-out double for Granderson in the 5th there, but he tries to score on a Juan Lagares line drive to right. Apparently he doesn't know that he don't run on Bryce Harper.
Yeah, Grandy beat one play, but he couldn't beat 2. And that actually I got to give Uglis some credit there on getting that short hop and flipping that tag around, almost making that play. When you saw the replay on the Exmo, you know, that was a snow cone that he was trying to whip over, and it just fell out of the cone there. He should have left his glove on the ground maybe and tried to pick it up again, you know, play it off like he had control of it. But that was a great play to get Granderson at the plate. Harper was heads up, came in on the ball, charged it hard, made a clean pickup. The throw was maybe not as online as you'd like, but he got it in there in plenty of time for Flores to hang on and make the tag. Ramos, to get in there and make the play at the plate, which I know is something that we've been bemoaning for many years, but he seems to be getting better at it.
Yes, and more importantly, and enjoyably, even slapped Granderson in the face with the tag, which was fantastic, but especially in slow motion. Dave, we're talking about Harper, though. Doghouse and I both like that one walk against Harvey after he struck out the first two times. He goes 0-for-3 on the night with a walk and two Ks, but still manages to be a real factor in this game. You said he was starting to look MVP-ish last night. Doesn't do anything at the plate, but came up really big on the defensive end there. And if the Nationals had been able to get back in it, that could have been a huge play.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't quite say MVP-ish. What I did say was he's looking all-starish, and he's looking like he's becoming a true difference maker. A true difference maker. You know, we saw the defensive play. We saw him adjust to what Harvey was doing against him and draw the walk. We've seen him. Obviously, he's leading the National League in walks. He's swinging at pitches that he's been given, and he's laying off of pitches that the pitchers are trying to get him out with. I think we're seeing a real maturation process. And of course, I didn't agree with the effort to steal second here tonight. But that's, you know, that's an act of aggression, and we don't know if it was a call from the bench, if it was Harper taking it on himself. But we are seeing Harper grow into the player that everybody expects him to be eventually, and he's only 22 years old. I mean, he still hasn't pitched. He hasn't faced a pitcher younger than him. We're watching a once-in-a-generation talent grow up right before our eyes, and it's a really exciting thing.
All right, so you just stopped short of saying MVP-ish. I apologize for mischaracterizing your comments there. I want to go to both of you guys for this one. We'll start with you, Doghouse. Bottom of the eighth inning, Matt Thornton comes on for Max Scherzer. Curtis Granderson, K's swinging, but Juan Lagares, sharp ground ball to center, single there. Lucas Duda, the lefty, so Matt Thornton stays in. Lucas Duda singles to put two on. Matt Williams pleases one of our writers by bringing in the right-hander, Blake Treinen, to face Michael Kadire. Doesn't leave Matt Thornton in as he has, and leave a lefty in to face a righty as he has in previous at-bats. But Treinen struggles with his command again, walks Michael Kadire. At that point, are you bringing in the lefty? Do you have Matt Grace warmed up when you've already made the one trade, the one move? Do you leave Blake Treinen in there to face Daniel Murphy? Murphy hits the first pitch out to left field. Jason Worth stumbles a bad read on it, tries to get back, and ends up slipping. The ball goes over his head. Bases are cleared by a double by Murphy there, 4-0. Would you have made the switch to a left-hander? What do you think about Worth's play, et cetera, Doghouse?
We'll start from the back on this pile of depressing outcomes here. Worth has not looked very comfortable in the field all year, and he's certainly not been going all out on a lot of plays. I think he decides very early whether or not he can get to a ball, and if he thinks he can't, he certainly doesn't go all out to cut it off. Today, he misread that ball and slipped and just looked. That was, you know, I hesitate to say Dunn-esque, but let's say Willingham-esque out there and left. That was not pretty defense. He did make a few not terribly challenging, but, you know, workmanlike catches earlier in the game. But that was, that made me have visions of all of a sudden his age-related decline catches up to him and he falls off the cliff in terms of performance-wise. But we'll see if this is just a matter of getting used to left field and missing a bunch of spring training and so on and so forth. We'll whistle past the graveyard on that one. As far as the bullpen management tonight, I liked going with the righty. He's finally set Trinan up for success against a sequence of two righties with a lefty in the middle. After he walks his chance to get out of the inning with a double play, which had me wailing and gnashing my teeth and not quite throwing things at the TV, but pretty close. I was of two minds there, because you bring the lefty in, he's facing one lefty, and then it's back to righties. So I kind of agree with Matty there, rolling the dice, leave him in there against one lefty, hoping maybe that he's gotten one out at that point at least. And, you know, if the defense had gone cleaner in the outfield, okay, it's a sack fly, you let in one run, but you're still keeping it pretty close, and you've got a good chance to get an out, get out of the inning with only one run in. Just didn't work out for the Nats there.
Dave, on worse defense and leaving Trinan in to face the lefty after you walk a Dyer?
You've got three lefties in the pen. You should use them. That's really all there is to it. I mean, you brought up Sammy Solis as your third lefty in the pen. Matt Grace had warmed up earlier in the night, so it wouldn't have been too difficult to get him hot again. I think they botched that. And I've got real concerns about Jason Worth. I mean, my biggest concern from the very beginning was him building up strength in the shoulder to have some of his diminishing power return for the Nats. Watching him field for the last 2 weeks, I've got real concerns, as Doghouse alluded to earlier, of him falling off the cliff. I mean, this is a case where he hasn't looked comfortable. He hasn't looked comfortable in the field. He hasn't looked comfortable hitting. He really hasn't looked particularly comfortable running yet either. Whether this is an extended spring training during the regular season for him, whether it's more of an adjustment period that he wants to let on, or if his physical skills have diminished through accumulation of injury to the point that that he's no longer major league caliber in the outfield, the Nats have to find that out, and they have to find out in a damn hurry because they are depending on him for a lot. They need to at least get another 2 years out of him, and if that's not the case, then they need to make the switch and get Michael Taylor playing every day because they're going to have to rely on him a lot faster than they might otherwise have thought.
Yeah, we definitely talked on this show all last year about some of the plays by Worth and Wright. You think moving him out of right field and getting Harper over there would have been an improvement, but he still has to be able to go out there and play left field, and you try to chalk it up if you're going on a pro-Worth stance here that he is still working his way back into shape after missing a lot of time in spring training, but hasn't looked good so far, as you said, and we'll see what he's able to do going forward. The Nats couldn't figure out Harvey tonight. They drop a 4-0 decision tomorrow night, 7-10 again. Nats 10-14 now after the loss. Have Gio Gonzalez going against left-hander John Neese, the battle of the lefties out there in the 3rd of 4 in Citi Field. Talk to you guys both tomorrow. Nats Nightly, sponsored by the District Sports Page and FederalBaseball.com. Signing off.
Go Nats.